This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast with iHeartRadio.
Hey guys, welcome to the Almost Famous episode this week where we recap Bachelor in Paradise.
Why are we singing?
I don't know.
Oh, it felt good.
I don't know.
Yeah, it felt good.
Oh,
I
thanks.
Liked it.
Well, you were singing before, and so it just rubbed off on me.
Ashley, I'm going crazy. I'm currently sitting in my basement right now. I've been down here for 6 days. I can't put weight. Okay, so here's a big update from my surgery last Tuesday. They got in there.
Yeah, I know.
ACL replacement, but then it got worse. So like I have this disease going on in my knee where my tissue's eating at itself. And so it's like causing inflammation that like, so they had to grind it off my like bone. And so,
oh, no.
Yeah. And then my meniscus was super messed up, which most people are like, hey, I've torn my meniscus before, but you want your meniscus. So they stitch it up. And they tell me I can't have any weight on my knee. Listen to this. For 6 weeks. Ashley, I'm...
That means you like cannot stand for 6 weeks without being on a crutch?
On a crutch. Can't drive. I'm like kind of locked in.
Didn't you have like a zillion flights?
I have a zillion flights. I have 2 board meetings. And then I also have a wedding coming up. And this pushes me... Like I'm going to be walking... The official date of our wedding is 2 weeks after I'll be ready to put weight on it again. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Okay. So basically when you were joking about walking down the aisle with a cane,
it's not that funny anymore.
It's reality now.
Yeah.
But like still super on brand for you, you know, wanted to host the elderly edition of The Bachelor.
Still putting
and
it out
like,
there.
You can still do like this old school classic Hollywood charm thing with it. Like I can see like Cary Grant with a cane, yeah. Right?
I mean, I'm fine with it. And I know Jess is good with it. But yeah, it was just a little more intense than I expected. I'm feeling fine. And I get off, I think today's my last day on like pain medication. Like this is day 6 and I've only taken one a day now. I was like 3 for the first 2 days. And obviously my history of pain medication is not a good one. And so I'm down to 1. And I think tomorrow I'll be able to just go to Tylenol, which will be great for me personally. And I'm feeling pretty good, like mentally about it, but, wild. You know what happened, Ash?
I'm so sorry. Are you going to need like a full blown knee replacement in a couple of years?
I think so. I think that's what's going on.
No.
But yeah. You know what? I'm getting married though. I'm calling it in. I'm just going to do the best I can for as long as I can. Jessica had to leave town. So she can even
do cake testing.
To cake testing and her wedding dress shopping. So my mom has been out here helping me out a lot, which has been super amazing and really good for us. I'm not very fun right now, but at least we get to hang out together and spend some good time together. Guess what? And then we can move on to the podcast. I don't know if anybody cares about this, but I woke up from my surgery and I told the nurse, I said, hey, I don't want my mom or Jess back here until I'm like semi-coherent because I say weird stuff in my regular life, like all the time. And I can't imagine what I'm going to say when I wake up from anesthesia. And so finally they came back. I still don't remember them coming back, but the nurse decided I was good enough for them to come back. And the nurse goes, hey, Ben, what would you like to drink? And I was
like whiskey.
Yeah, I was like, tequila soda. And she's like, no. She's like, we have apple juice. We have oranges. Like tequila soda or nothing. She's like, we'll get you a water. I said, that's good. we got a good podcast coming for you today. Super cool episode. A lot going on in Paradise. A lot of things to follow up on. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to break down the headlines of this week and also break down this week's episode of Bachelor in Paradise, which is a good one. We'll be back with the Almost Famous podcast. It's time to break down this week's episode of Bachelor in Paradise. You all watched, we watched, and we're into it. Like, we're into it. Ashley, we start out this with the cocktail party. I just want to start out from the beginning and say I'm really excited for Titus. I just like him as the host. He brings a good energy. I was questioning their host choices when it got announced. Just like, I was like, it doesn't make sense. And still doesn't make sense to me on why they chose who they chose. But I've actually kind of enjoyed the small segments with each host.
Yeah, I think they could have utilized each host a little bit more. Yeah. They may have. We just may not have seen it because sometimes it's like, wow, you came on a guest host and like you literally had one scene beyond the hello and goodbye scene.
Yeah.
But at this, and I also would think, I think it's weird that they didn't have a female host at some point. But yeah, they're fun. I had a point that I was, here's my point. I am so tired of hearing the Little John. Are you looking for love? I mean, like, have I said this before? Probably. It's just like, we're looking for eligible old bachelors. If you want to be on the new bachelor? Yeah! And I'm like, okay, wow, the shtick is old.
It is. And the thing with Little John is, like, he's a brilliant dude who's a great host. I feel like they could have utilized him in different ways other than just repeating his, like, one thing over and over. Like, they could have had him do a bunch of little funny, but instead they just use the same thing over and over. I get that.
Yeah, they could have been creative with it. Like, every week there was something different he said.
Because he's good. Like, he has a lot going. He's really good at this. They just didn't. Like, I think you made a good point. It's been fun. They could have utilized them more. But here's diving into this week's episode. This is where I want to start it. There's one rule. And here's where I, as a alumni of the show, and listeners, you're fans of the show, which now I am as well. That's kind of my title, is a fan of the show. Ashley's a fan of the show. There's only one rule, and anybody can blame editing. That's a common excuse, and it can pretty much be thrown out there anytime anybody wants it. And it never sticks because you always see through that like excuse. The one rule of this show is that you can't come onto the show in a relationship. And that's what
which
I feel
what
like.
Well said.
Yeah. Which is what Will said. I feel like that's kind of the theme of the last 2 weeks here is like anybody that comes off of this and we're all watching them and we're waiting for they're doing these like responses on Instagram of, hey, I'm either sorry or I'm not sorry for what I did, but they blame it on editing. It's like, no. Let's just be clear. You had a relationship coming into the show. That's the only rule. You broke it. As a result, there's consequences. They don't have to be terrible. People don't have to hate you for it, but like, it's not okay.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
I agree.
Okay.
Yeah, that's totally fair. And yeah, I mean, like, Bachelor Nation can get really heated over it and say like crazy things on these people's Instagrams.
That's not fair.
So like, I understand that these people like trying to like feel like they need to defend themselves. We'll get a little bit further into this during Hot Topics when we talk about some of these apologies. But even like Piper said something during New York Fashion Week. So here's a teaser for you guys to stick around for headlines. And I was just like, I feel like you are continuing to lie. Like, why can't you just at least at this point, you're going to come across way more likable if you just fess up and be honest.
Well, and we'll dive into this because I have some strong opinions on everybody's apologies. Or statements, or whatever you call them. And I get that people are mean. And we're not for that ever. Like, you don't have to, like, destroy these people because of the choices that they made to try to get some fame. Like, we can be upset about it. They should leave the show. Like, you can even stop following them, which I think was a really strong statement. But you don't have to hate the human. Like, that's never okay. But we still have strong opinions on this. Okay, let's dive in this episode. It's the cocktail party. Ashley, take it away.
All right, so five girls are going to leave.
So many.
Or so we think. So there's, like, a lot of pressure. And the girls are saying, like, when you see them chit-chatting, that it seems like it's going to be Demi on the chopping block, possibly Chelsea, who I was a little confused by because I thought she did have a good date with Aaron. They talk about how Jesenia's on the chopping block. Tammy's going to get cut off, we think. And then Deandra. Those are who, like, the girls are predicting are on the chopping block. But you know what just strikes me right then?
What?
Is what about Tia, who we definitely feel like isn't partnered with anybody? And what about Kendall, who we definitely haven't seen with anybody? But during the cocktail hour,
yeah, good point.
We see them with guys. All of a sudden, Tia is kissing James and Kendall is kissing Ivan. Where did that come from?
Yeah, you know what? It's interesting because you would have felt like, I understand that we haven't seen a lot from Tia. Like, the Tia and James coupling up doesn't feel that interesting to me. Now, they're both interesting as humans and as characters, but, like, that relationship felt like, okay, it probably...
Fickle.
Yeah, fickle. It just blossomed out of nowhere. But I'm surprised we haven't... that the show didn't dive more into Kendall and Ivan, or at least... And we see it later on.
One scene. Just needed one scene of them connecting.
That's it. We had no clue. But when I, and again, we're going to go do this in chronological order. When I first see Kendall and Ivan together, I think in my mind, wow, this could work. Like, this is an interesting couple that feels like they have a lot of things in common.
Totally, totally agree.
It's interesting to me.
Mm-hmm. I know. I agree. So then the big thing that happens during this cocktail party is that is Brendan and Piper, right? They end up leaving because they're confronted by Joe and a posse of a lot of single girls saying like, okay, really what you did was exactly like what Chris did. And they left yesterday. So I think it's kind of appropriate if you guys also escorted yourselves out. And then we get more into the logistics of like how many times they hung out. You know, Piper said they hung out 10 times and Brendan said that they hung out like twice. And what he said, he clarified that they had hung out in like privacy, like two or three dinner dates. And it's like, that is a lot. That is a lot of personal private time. Let's not downplay that. Two or three dinner dates plus the additional group hangs, like that is a lot. So he gets annoyed, you know, there's more annoyance like oozing out of their pores, but everybody has good points. And then we see more like sketchy stuff from them because they're sitting on that bed, Piper and Brendan, talking about followers and money. And she's like, I have a master's degree in marketing. I should be able to get followers on my own. And it's just like crazy.
I've never. Okay. So a little sneak peek. We have Jacinia coming on for her own episode this week, and you're going to really love that episode. And one of the things that Jacinia brings up, a little sneak peek about it, is like, you all know that you're being filmed and that you have a mic on. Like, everybody's aware of this and they know that they're being filmed all the time. You don't have a place really to hide. And if you are hiding and you're saying stuff that's like intriguing to the producers, they're going to find you and they're going to find a way to record you doing this. They talk about followers and fame so much that it's like, it's surprising to me of the lack of awareness about where they're at, because I know I know during my time on the show, you are cautious of what you're saying, right? Like, you don't want to come off incorrectly. It's always something in the back of mind. And yes, you do get more comfortable as you go and you start to say things and do things that maybe you wouldn't have done it the first week, but you're still aware. And so if you know that like followers and fame, which everybody at some level is intrigued by, I don't think I say interested in, and they're not necessarily motivated by it. Like, I don't think Kendall is there on the beach right now motivated by more fame. I think she had a legit like desire to figure some stuff out. So not everybody is motivated by it, but everybody's aware of it. Yet they're talking about it so much. And it's like, what are you doing? Like, stop.
It's mind blowing. My thought is probably that they may have been thinking, if the camera isn't on us, like if there isn't a camera crew in the room. So listeners out there, like there are, I don't even know the number. I'm going to say 5 or 6 like big cameras that'll follow the cast around in Paradise. But there are cameras launched to like the ceiling in every room. Like, you're constantly being recorded. But my thought is that with Brendan and Piper, they thought if like the camera crew wasn't there with the big camera, they weren't being filmed and that they were relatively safe. I don't know like how they possibly could have. And my thought is also that the producers saw their behavior without the camera crews in there. And they were like, okay, we're not even going to put a crew in there. We're just going to keep using the ceiling cameras to capture these insane conversations. And when I say insane, I'm like, I mean, inappropriate.
They're inappropriate because it does take away from like, I mean, in the process of them doing this, there is people in pain, like the Natasha's of the world. you know, people are getting hurt by their desire for fame. And so it's inappropriate, but not absolutely like crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't mean insane. I mean,
at least they're saying it. Like,
distasteful.
It's distasteful. At least they're saying it. Like, at least there's one thing about them at least admitting that this is why they're there. Now, I do have to apologize because 2 weeks ago when I was on the podcast, I took last week off, obviously, I did say that what we knew was going to happen, or maybe this was last week, actually.
It was last Monday.
I said they were going to get more followers from this. I was wrong.
Like, oh, you were so wrong.
This was shocking to me that Bachelor Nation actually did the opposite to them. Like, I never saw that coming. I've never seen that happen. Like, typically, even the biggest of villains, the ones that shake stuff up the most, still get more followers for doing that. I did not expect them to lose followers. I was wrong, and I have to admit that.
Okay, let me look up what Bachelor data has right now as like the what happened last week. Because you guys know we had Bachelor data, a girl who runs this Instagram account, come on our podcast a couple months ago. We'll round the numbers a bit. It looks like Natasha gained over 180,000 followers from last week's episodes. Piper went down about 7,000 and Brendan went down about 60,000. And these stats are from 6 days ago.
I mean, that is wild to me, Ashley. Like I did not see that coming. But Bachelor Nation spoke. Mm-hmm. They've obviously shared their piece and this did backfire on them. Now, okay, back to the show. So we see the group coming to them, and I had mixed feelings about it. I do think Joe's, and I said this a couple weeks ago, he's a wise dude. I do think his intentions by saying, hey, everybody's bad mouthing them behind their back, I want to have this conversation with them. I think it was a great move for Joe. Like, I think that was a respectful thing to do, is say, hey, let's stop just bad mouthing them. Let's actually go to them. Now, did it need to be eight people? That felt a little aggressive, but everybody was interested. Everybody was into it. It got pretty hostile, and I felt like Brendan and Piper both immediately knew that they were kind of pushed into a corner. And I want to know what you think of how Brendan responded to this conversation, because there was a lot of voice. I mean, I know how I get when like a lot of voices are coming at me, kind of like an intervention.
Yeah.
And like you get defensive.
Yeah.
But like, It got to the point where they just left, and it felt like it was probably the best move for them to do. But how have you reacted if that, like, if eight people walked up to you on the beach with that kind of attitude?
I mean, it's easy to say that I would have just been like, okay, guys, I get it. We messed up. We did. We're sorry. Like, you're right. We did come here thinking that we were going to be together. That's the best move. I feel like maybe under the pressure and in the midst of the conversation, I would be defensive like that. It's interesting that when they did like go off to have their own personal conversation, Piper said, I told you I didn't want to do this, which is just like further evidence to me that like it was kind of planned.
Yeah, well,
it was.
Yeah. So anyways, they leave. They both are very upset in the van, but I do think it resettles the beach a little bit. Like, I think
totally
I really am watching this and feeling like most of the cast are getting along here. Like, we've kind of gotten rid of the hostility and the issues now. And now like love stories are going to blossom, which happens most season, but I do think it resettled the beach. I don't think there was a lot of, I think there was a big thing kind of sitting over, like a cloud sitting over him, with Piper and Brendan still being there and Natasha being so hurt. And it felt like, okay, there's a breath. But at this point in time, I'm watching this going, yeah, but Natasha's still the one going to get hurt out of this. Like, she's still going to go home because of all this. And that's even sadder.
Until we're at the rose ceremony.
Yep.
And Wells comes up and says, you know, I feel like there's somebody that he was really screwed over and played, and it just wasn't right. So then he has Pauly come and bring in the extra rose for Natasha, which I think was a great move. I think we all liked it. I want to know how Jesenia felt about that. Yeah. Did you get to talking about that with her?
I didn't. It's a good question.
I personally find that to be different because Jesenia had her time with Ivan and then she moved on.
And then Connor B was interested in her and she moved on.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like it was totally
like
different.
Natasha kind of had, the reason I didn't ask Jesenia is because of that. It was like, can you really compare the two? Now, both are unfortunate, like both, but like Jesenia's storyline is a little more similar to like what happens in Paradise. You date around, you end up not finding somebody, whatever. Natasha was kind of like all eyes on Brendan because she thought he had only eyes for her for a while and then she gets messed over. And so she kind of like didn't get her shot. That's the way I see it. And so that's why it wasn't necessarily like comparable, but still unfortunate, but not comparable. Mm-hmm. I was surprised. I wonder if you are. Because I just look at Natasha and like we've said it, but like I've been a fan of her, during her time on the podcast and just like her time on the show. I kind of see her like a little bit like on a pedestal, like, oh, she's like really just incredible and she can do so well in this world and all this stuff. I was surprised by her emotion to wanting to be there still. Like, explain to me, Ashley, like why you think she was so emotional over still getting a rose and still being able to be around. Because for me, I'm watching it being like, Natasha, you're going to be fine in this world. Like, guys are going to, like, they have to be flocking for her.
I think that a lot of it has to do with just like the support of the friendships there. And like people were happy to see her get that chance. So I think like when you're surrounded by people who are like rooting you on that hard, it gets emotional.
That's a good point. Yeah. Cause like how often in life are you kind of like feeling kicked and pushed around? And then you have, I mean, how many people are there? So like 10 people go, no, like we want to find the best way to support you. So good move on the show's part. Good move on Wells's part. Happy to see Natasha still there. Any shockers from that rose ceremony for you?
I think just, Demi leaves. I don't think it was shocking that Demi left, but at the same time, she's such a figurehead. And like to see like somebody like that leave at a rose ceremony just by like getting like quote kicked off is kind of always like a little shocking. And I think what Joe said was so right. Like she puts on this tough exterior, but she's like really upset. So I think we'll miss the commentary from Demi. I do appreciate the fact that earlier in the episode, she was kind of the one that rallied the conversation that Joe and all the girls had because she was like, you guys like Brendan. And that's the reason you're not giving Brendan as much crap as you gave Chris, because you guys didn't like Chris. So I'm glad that she was kind of the brigade leader there. But, you know, she had a lot of screen time and we're not worried about Demi. I'm not worried about Demi in any sort of future context.
No, but you're right. And I think it's one thing like for any fan to know, and you obviously know Demi even better than I do. But she puts on this tough exterior but she's so incredible and she's sensitive and she's sweet. And we got to see more of that, I think, as Paradise continued. At the first, she kind of came in, had that tough exterior, you know, was Demi and everybody knew of Demi. And then as time went on, she started to kind of like show just how much she cares and how much she wants to find somebody and how much she wants to find a partner. I'm sad to see her go. I enjoyed watching her experience. I wonder, and we'll obviously get her on here to the podcast, but I wonder if she's happy she did Paradise this year. If you were to guess, what do you think?
I think she'll be happy that she did it.
Okay.
It may not be as definitive as like her past appearances.
Yeah.
You know?
I wonder if we'll see her back. I mean, that's a big question for me is hopefully she finds somebody in between now, but I wonder if this was kind of Demi's, you know, semi-retirement from the show because, you know, I don't know if we'll see much more of her in the future, which would be sad. I enjoy watching Demi.
She's very good TV.
She's great TV.
And she is oddly endearing at times.
This week's batch bracket rule of the week is 10 plus points if a contestant is seen kissing on a daybed. on top of already existing kissing points. You guys, I think this is going to be pretty easy. I think the day beds are probably the number one spot for makeout sessions. So good luck.
So at the rose ceremony, like, everybody kind of pairs up with who we think we're going to pair up. Deandra, Demi. We didn't talk about Tammy. We got to talk about Tammy for a second.
Yeah, let's go back and talk about Tammy. That's a good point.
Tammy leaving, that poor girl, she like really thought that Thomas and her had something. But like, didn't they only have like a little something something for like 2 days before that Becca date? I felt bad. It was so, I'm like the last person to say, because I'm the person who like falls in love at first sight, and I will be head over heels and obsessed, and like I will wail over you if I've known you even for a night. So I'm like the last person to like create doubt over her feelings. But I definitely think she misinterpreted things coming from him. And I don't think he did anything wrong.
No, there's no hate on Thomas in this. Like,
no,
this, he did exactly what everybody else does during Paradise, is they're dating somebody. Somebody else comes to the beach. They go on a date with them because they keep their options open. Like, there's no issue there. I watched that scene, and I was, what comes to mind in my notes here that I wrote down was, she just put all cards on the table. Like, she made the statement that I think I made to Jessica months into our relationship. Even if I like felt it, she said, "You're my best friend."
I know. I couldn't believe she said that. I was like, do I rewind?
Like, that made my heart sink. I have no criticism here other than just like my heart sank, because like that's such a strong statement. And like, she obviously was like throwing everything out there for him and saying, like, Thomas, like, I want you to be it. And like, he looks at her and says, it's not it. And they were on two different pages. But yeah, that was hard to watch, especially seeing her say that, because if she means it, which I have to believe she did, she was so off of what Thomas was feeling. And it hurts.
Oh, to say that he was her best friend makes me feel like, was there so many conversations that we didn't see? I don't know,
Ash, but it's worth noting, right, to anybody listening, is to like make sure you pay attention to that scene. And like, I want to know how you feel about it, all the listeners, so please message us and email us and DM us about that, because that was a heavy sad. Heavy scene. That was sad.
It was really sad. But I don't, yeah, she like put all the blame on Thomas, but it was very obvious from the things that we've seen that it just was a relationship that was lopsided.
Yeah, she put the blame on him, but like, not, you know, that's not totally like out of the norm. Like, she was throwing her heart out there, and he's like, hey, it's just not there. And so you're like, you're like, oh no, come on. Like, you're the problem here. And like, you just do that in breakups. Like, I mean, that's what that was for her.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And then, okay, so Deandra leaves, but like, we kind of knew that was coming. And then Jesenia leaves, and we kind of knew that was coming. And then, so Chelsea stays because Aaron ended up giving her his rose, which wasn't shocking to me. And then it's the next day. The next day, little John shows up. He says, yeah. And then it's kind of like all happy-go-lucky in paradise. The only thing that kind of gets shaken a bit is James sees Tia with this new guy. His name is Blake. He shows up. We don't know who Blake is. I have no idea who Blake is. He's from Claire/Chase's season,
from Indiana. I like him.
Yep. Tia was very excited, had her eyes set on him, hoping that he was gonna be there. So
he's a good looking dude,
very good looking. And it seemed like he was into Tia like right off the bat. I was like, yeah, she's getting in this date. They go on the date. They have a great time. They talk about like soulmates, and they like are very honest about the connection that they're feeling together. So now James, you know, he's out of luck. And everybody else is like just like thriving, it seems, except for like Kendall, probably, who we're not really seeing much of. But Abigail and Noah, Serena and Joe, Kenny and Mari, Riley and Marissa, and Becca and Thomas. They're all like making out and having a great time on the beach. Meanwhile, everybody is a little concerned with where Natasha is going to find a man.
Yeah. So you have James and Natasha kind of sitting off to the side right now. I want to say that this Tia and Blake thing, Tia's been around a while. I've gotten to spend good time with Tia. Like, I was really excited for this moment because there was a connection there that, like, felt like right away you're like, oh, this is, I think her feelings towards him, this is how I take it, but like her feelings towards him were stronger right away. Like, she was pretty much like, I want to go on this date. If he invites somebody else, I'm still going to go on that date. I'm going to be, yeah. And then they go on the date and she's sitting there and she just has these her eyes for him. Like, you can read her eyes and see that, like, she's so into it. And I get it. These guys from Indiana, like, they've got something about him. But I really enjoyed that date and that moment for the two of them, especially for Tia. I thought Tia was just showing up to the beach because Becca was there and they're good friends and she was just going to have a good time and then pretty much like peace out. And no, you're seeing that, like, she really is into this. And then we have James. We'll talk about Natasha in a second, but you have James. And I'll be honest with you. When I saw James on his season of The Bachelorette, I thought he was kind of just like a joke. Like, I thought, you know, he's the guy that shows up in the box and like...
the guy with the overdone eyebrows.
Exactly.
Super, like, slicked back hair.
Yeah, I'm like, you know what? Like, he's fine, but definitely not a dude that, like, I would probably want to kick it with. Not a guy I would see eye to eye with. I will say this again. I was wrong. Because I have enjoyed watching him during Paradise open up, break down a little bit, become like vulnerable and sensitive and make fun of himself, but also just like care deeply. I've liked him a lot more now. And I'm saying I see who this dude is, and it shows me once again the lesson I have to continue to teach myself is you can't dislike somebody until you know their story. And once you know their story, it's really hard not to like them. And I think, like, I'm liking James more, but I do think his time has passed. And I think it's almost like comedic watching him. Like, I do in my evilness watch him, like, enjoy watching the scenes where he's sitting alone eating. Cause it's like, this is so sad that it's almost funny.
Well, this season, maybe more than ever, I feel like there are people that are lingering far beyond, like, their due date.
Okay, yeah, fair.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Okay, like, but I think James and Ivan are, like, the two standouts for me there. And maybe a little Aaron, maybe. He's actually kind of stayed relevant through every episode with, like, a new something-something. But I don't know what it is, whether they have more of a cast and there's more roses or just like the way that the guys went first. There's just a group that has gotten lucky. Mm-hmm. I feel like.
Yeah. And he's one of them. He's definitely one of them. Well, that's kind of what I wanted to say is I wanted to make it clear that, like, I probably was too critical of James during his time in his season. And in Paradise, as always, you learn a little bit more about somebody. I like him a little bit more, a lot more actually. But let's go on now before we talk about the Kendall situation, because that's a big one that I want to sit on for a second.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Joe showing up to the beach.
Uh-huh.
A guy that we just absolutely love, who's on the podcast, who's an incredible interview, really smart, very, very caring. He shows up to the beach. Ashley, your first thoughts when he shows up to the beach?
Like a breath of fresh air. Okay. I'm super excited to be there. I'm like, now this guy is such a catch. He should have gone in earlier. I don't know why he didn't. And I'm thinking that he and Natasha, just on paper, sound like they would be pretty compatible. I feel like they have, like, similar levels of, like, emotional intelligence. I feel like they're both pretty smart. They're probably good conversationalists. I just, like, felt that made a lot of sense. And I was excited to see that vibe happening. And he seemed so gentlemanly-like, too. You know, like, everything about him was like, oh, what a catch, what a catch. And everything, like, kind of went downhill a little bit towards the end. But what were your first thoughts before we get to the actual dinner date?
Well, I'm a big fan of Joe. I'm assuming that the reason he showed up late is because of work and he had to request that or whatever. That's just my guess. The thing about Joe that like I admire with him is his ability to care deeply about each conversation. Like mm-hmm. he looks people in the eyes.
But that's like you.
Well, and he focuses. And that takes not only like you said, it's an awareness. And I was like, mm-hmm. Natasha, my thought right away was Natasha needs this date with Joe if for no other reason than to have somebody look her in the eyes and deeply care about her and where she's at and what she's looking for. And if it doesn't work, like if there isn't chemistry, that's okay. But at least she's going to get a date where somebody listens to her. And mm-hmm. that's what my hope was. And so then he asks her on the date. We get to the date. It feels like to me it's going fine. It's not maybe like there's not like it's not fireworks, but it's going fine. And she obviously had a lot to work through. He's brand new to the beach. And then the big moment happens.
Before we get there, how cute was it when he tried to speak in Spanish?
Oh.
And then when he took her bugged margarita.
He's a good dude. I don't think he's showing off his intelligence, but dang, his intelligence is attractive. Like, he speaks in Spanish. I think when he was on our podcast, he was talking about how many languages he spoke. He speaks a bunch. He's trying to speak a bunch. And then he takes her bug margarita. Like, he's just if he's a guy that, like, if I had a sister, I'd be like, you need to go on a date with Joe to know that there's good dudes out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if it doesn't work, fine, but at least you're going to have a good date. And so that's the setup I want to bring into their conversation about Brendan. And so obviously, as we all know from Instagram and from the world, Brendan and Joe are very close. They're good friends. They're best of friends.
Do you remember what he said to us on the podcast? He said, if you do go to paradise, who do you want to see down there from Bachelor Nation? And he said, Brendan.
Well, so, and I don't know, Ashley, if it's a coincidence, if it's ironic, because it is extraordinary timing that Natasha is kind of the one single woman on the beach and Joe shows up. And as soon as they start having this conversation, it can go one of two ways. It can either go to a place of let's not really talk about it because there's so much here for us to process that it's like not really helpful, or let's dive into it and try to work through it. But it felt like Joe's care for Brendan is so strong that as soon as she brought it up, he pulled back. And his intelligence and his awareness all of a sudden like went away. And he just was like, I just can't, I need to process this. This is so much. And he's like, we can just like now take it slow. Like it felt like all of a sudden, he felt like, oh crap, I'm a part of a story that I don't necessarily want to be a part of or even knew I could become a part of.
Yeah, it was really awkward. I don't know. The only way I can like kind of talk about this is kind of like flipping it into my own situation. If my best friend screwed some guy over, but then ended up being happy in like whatever relationship they ended up in, would I have an issue dating the person that she screwed over?
Well,
I don't know if it really matters.
I don't think it matters to, I don't think Joe knows how little it would matter. Like, I think at this point he's only getting a taste of the information.
Oh,
and so
I think
from what he understood
is like, maybe Brendan's going to be pissed at me.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, am I starting to walk into something that, and when I get off of this, I'm going to realize that I was a part of something that I shouldn't be a part of. And now I'm going to lose a friend. And I'm also just like, this new relationship with Natasha is brand new, and I don't even know if I'm like that into it yet. I think he had so little information, but enough to be scared. And that was my take on it. I could be wrong, but it was sad.
The reaction was a little jarring for me because it seemed so immediate, like just like hit the tone just flipped, and it was like they got up from the table and then like the date was done. I'm sure they sat at the table for like at least an hour and it wasn't as abrupt as it seemed on TV. but it definitely seemed like, oh, they can't handle the awkwardness.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was awkward.
If I were in that situation, I think I'd like continue on, be like, okay, let's change the topic to something lighter. We can always come back to this later sometime.
Yeah. It was awkward. It was awkward to watch. It was weird to watch. And it was sad. But my hope is that, you know, this whole Paradise season, it feels like it's set up. We're getting late into it, but it's set up for this like magical moment for Natasha. And it's still I'm still hopeful that like we're just continuing to root for her and she's continuing to get like unfortunate circumstances. And then at some point, somebody's going to show up to the beach, sweep her off her feet, and she just might enjoy like a week there. Like, that's my hope. That's what I'm kind of cheering for.
That's a hope for sure. But I think at this point it's pretty, oh wait, there are two men coming in next week, next episode. So it could happen. If she could just have fun for a little while. We'll see.
We'll see. But okay, Ashley, the majority of our conversation today, I do want to sit down with you and talk about Kendall and Joe. Because I feel like now for the first time, we do understand that Kendall has been exploring something with Ivan. We see this Joe relationship just becoming magical.
Blossoming. Yeah.
And so let's start with the good. Joe is somebody who obviously we're cheering for since the beginning. He shows at the beach. It's hard for him. He meets Serena and it feels very similar to kind of like the Kendall process with Joe, where it's like, she doesn't fully know yet. He's not fully into it yet. And then all of a sudden they're like, no, let's do this thing. And the more they get to spend time around each other, the more beautiful it becomes. And Serena's talking to Wells and she said, and he asks her like, hey, has there been the love word thrown around? And she says, not yet. And he asks if it's coming. And she says, it could be. She is smitten with Joe. She's kissing his shoulder, which is like the sweetest thing ever. Like, that's just incredible. And we see this relationship becoming really something special. She admits to Joe that she's falling in love with him. He says it back. And for me, there's just...
She says, I think I like you more than you like me.
I mean, how nervous are you for that moment?
I was like, what? This whole season I've been saying that's not the case. I guess I was wrong. I think her feelings caught up a lot in the past week.
Oh, but it's also, Ashley, you know, it's also, everybody out there knows it. It's a way to protect yourself as you know you're about to say something that's so vulnerable. You're like, I like you more than you like me, just to set yourself up for failure. Like, you're expecting him to not say it back. Totally. And so you're like, okay, at least I said that. Like, everybody does it. But that's when you also know just how real it is, where she's like, I want to say this to you and I need to protect myself because my heart is so much on the line right now. And then she says it and he says it back to her. And it's just like, I don't know, for me, it was just this moment of like glee. Like, it was a moment of celebration. Like, I'm watching this, I'm like, this is so beautiful. Like, we're seeing when this show works, like what it can look like.
And I was thinking about Kendall over there. But I was also thinking like, okay, like this is real. This is real. I'm glad this is mutual now because I wasn't 100% sure that it was like they were on an even playing field. But then I'm thinking about Kendall over there who's watching it, which sucks. I would have removed myself earlier than Kendall did. But you know, those situations where you're like, it's painful to watch, but if I'm not watching, then what's happening? And I must be in the know. So I see her dilemma on that.
So that's where we can transition then. And we can sit on this for a bit. Kendall, I'm with you. I wish you would have walked away quicker. At this point, she has now become very aware that Joe is pursuing Serena. And I think Joe has a huge heart. And I can't imagine it's easy for him to be fostering this relationship with Serena in front of Kendall, but he cares enough that he knows it's his only option. Kendall's watching this with Ivan sitting right behind her. I'm now beginning to feel for Ivan because he has to like, he's into Kendall and he's sitting there as she just stares at her ex-boyfriend and said, and is watching this go down. And it's breaking my heart for her because there's no situation in life where this has to happen, except here.
It's here.
And it sucks. So Ashley, how are you feeling about Kendall during this whole scenario? You've already said you think she should have left like earlier, but she couldn't have. So as she's sitting there, like, is her mind spinning and her heart just breaking?
Yeah, it's just like so broken. It's like you were literally just watching a heart shatter, I feel like. I don't know how she did it, especially sitting next to Ivan. I'd be like, I guess she made the move that I would have made. She's like, okay, nope, can't be next to you right now. Gross. You're a very wonderful man, but even if you were Brad Pitt right now, I would say gross. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so unnatural. Like, it's so not supposed to happen to your heart like that. It's hard enough to see your ex move on Instagram, mm-hmm. or to even like not even see a picture on Instagram, but to like see like likes and comments,
yeah. Oh,
and like
I get
to
that.
in your head be thinking about like, oh, is that a thing? And then you start imagining the thing, and then like you might be totally exaggerating, and maybe it's not. But like to see it definitively in front of your eyes is like the most heartbreaking thing that somebody can see.
I get that, and it's like, you know, we always say it like in relationships and breakups. It's like you have to get that Band-Aid ripped off so you can start to heal. Like that, mm-hmm. you know, you have a big wound.
Yeah, that wound needs stitches.
Yeah, oh, you're right. And it just keeps getting deeper and deeper. I'm also now realizing, and we always kind of said it, but like Kendall came to the beach because she was in love with Joe so much. Like I'm seeing that now. Like I'm mm-hmm. seeing, I always knew that she was interested in Joe and she wanted to figure out like what was going on there, if there was anything, but they've been broken up for a year and a half. And now this scene showed me that like she is really, really into Joe. Like she has not moved on.
I know. And this is definitely the time where you have no shame. You just put it out there. Mm. You know, like, you know that she's going to say everything unfiltered to him whenever they do have this upcoming conversation, because you know it's coming. And then he's going to tell her that he's in love with somebody else. And holy crap, how do you do it?
I don't know, but you're right. And I usually don't like to be a part of these conversations, but I'm anxiously awaiting watching them have this conversation, because I hope that out of it comes some healing. I hope out of it, though, like, I know is going to be a lot of pain. And I also, I mean, I guess selfishly, and I'm hopeful for this conversation because I want to see Joe leave this beach happy. And I know that like, as long as this is still existing, he's going to this is like the one thing that he needs to probably remove, and that Kendall needs to remove, so that they can both move on.
Mm-hmm. And you know, being in Joe's position isn't easy either, because there's like a lot of guilt there.
Yeah.
Because like he still obviously loves Kendall as a person and just doesn't want to break her heart, but like also just knows that his heart is romantically elsewhere.
Mm. Well, it was a big episode. We have a lot to come. In the sneak peek, we do see Kendall telling Joe that she never stopped loving him. We do see Joe comfort Kendall at this moment. So we're awaiting this. We obviously, as we didn't talk about about Kenny and Mari, but like we do see them go to the Boom Boom Room. We see them, you know, continue their relationship. One other thing here, Riley and Marissa are falling in love, but then Marissa is shown with another guy during the sneak peek.
Can you believe?
No, because we watched them lick whipped cream off each other's toes.
We didn't talk about that. And I have to say, that was the first time I was like, this shit doesn't even feel PG-13 right now.
No.
This feels almost rated R. I was watching on the train with my dad. I was watching on my phone. He was not watching.
Yeah.
But he like glanced over and I was feeling like I was watching something dirty in the presence of my dad.
Yeah, you're feeling all sorts of ways. Like he's licking it off your thighs. And so I don't know what happens, but even past the Kendall and Joe situation, I'm so into Riley and Marissa being together that I'm very intrigued with what happens that she ends up moving. I mean, we see her with another guy, like mm-hmm. Ashley, that can't be fake. Like what's going on?
So wild. And then Ivan's kissing Chelsea. How does this happen? And then there's a tropical storm that shows up and they need to leave the beach.
It's going to be a wild next couple episodes. We only have a few left.
I'm kind of sad about it being over.
I am too.
I'm kind of sad at the end of every episode. I'm like, I could use a little bit more.
And we don't feel that way very often, especially right now with the big shows. We're like, yeah, we're ready to move on and try another season. I'm with you, Ashley. I'm into this season more than I expected to be. And so let's take a break. When we come back, we have some Bachelor headlines that we want to talk about. But so far, Ashley, I think you just said it. What would you rate this season of The Bachelor in Paradise on a scale of A to F?
Oh, it's an A.
No, I'd agree. I would agree. Yeah. It's an A. Well, hey, we'll be back. We'll talk about Bachelor headlines in just a second. It's now time for Bachelor headlines with our resident expert, Ashley Iaconetti. She knows everything, and she's going to share it with us. Here we go. ABC taps one of Michelle Young's Bachelorette suitors to be the next Bachelor. And here's the crazy thing. Us Weekly can confirm. Now, we're not confirming, but Us Weekly has confirmed.
Wow, guys. We are not going to know. We are not going to know anything about this Bachelor until he's already filming, because if they go according to their regular filming schedule, which starts in mid to late September, we will not be meeting him until we will be meeting him until Michelle's season premieres on October 19th. So this guy is going to be filming for about a month before we get to even get to know anything about him, which is interesting. So these girls who are going to be on his season are going in blind, and wow.
You have to believe that like spoilers are going to get out there. Like
we're going to get spoilers. I think we're going to know who the guy is, and then we're going to do a whole bunch of like social media research on him. Right. Like you and I will be talking about him, but like, as far as like his presence on the show, we'll know nothing about that.
Interesting.
This comes as a result, I guess. Tyler Cameron was in talks, but not going to be the lead. And then from Katie's season, we had Michael A and, well, Justin, and I guess Andrew is possibly in the running, and Greg,
yeah,
who was like oddly rumored there to be the Bachelor for a while, all of them not going to be the Bachelor either.
Well, here's my thought. I think this is wrong.
I think it's wrong because the girls didn't know what like they were going into. They literally did not go there for him. They went there to be on The Bachelor.
I still think Michael A is going to be The Bachelor. I still think it. I still think that like the show is going to find a way to get him to be The Bachelor. And this is all a rumor. That's my theory, because none of this makes sense. And they need a Bachelor season to be very successful. Like, they need it, and I don't think this is the way to make it successful.
Yeah, unless this guy is so incredible that they know that we're going to be obsessed with him on the Bachelor, on Michelle season.
Possibly, but I mean, I think everybody was kind of that way with Michael A. So let's you know, back up the Brinks truck to him and figure out a way to bring his son to filming, and let's make this happen. Anyways, next headline is this, and this is a very serious one. I mentioned it a few months ago that one of my best friends in the world has been struggling with Lyme disease now for the last year, and his body is quickly actually shutting down, and
yes.
He's in a ton of testing. He has a pit line in his arm. It's a really terrible disease, and I've seen him just really suffer with this, and so my heart breaks, and this is the headline. The Bachelor's Kelly Flanagan says Lyme disease treatment will be intense 9-month process. Now, Ryan Setter also has Lyme disease, so this is the second Bachelor Nation person that we know that's came out recently. Ashley, can you read the excerpt of what's going on? But also, I just want to say from all of us, Kelly Flanagan, if you listen, I'm sorry. Like, this is really heavy.
It's devastating. I feel so bad for her. She's like, it's so crazy that there's just no cure. And like, there doesn't even seem to be like a constant, like a treatment that works for like a majority of people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So McKelly is going to be going to Boston to be doing a whole bunch of tests and to try out everything she possibly can. She was at Fashion Week this week, and she said this is going to be her last hurrah before a hectic 9 months. So she's going to Boston to see doctors there and learn how to maneuver it, and it's going to be intense. She said there's going to be no carbs, no sugar, an oxygen tank for like 30 minutes a day, brainwave lasers. It's going to be extensive, but I'm ready to tackle it. She said, I'm pretty honest with people in terms of what's going on. I can't start this protocol, you know, and be like on 40 supplements a day and be on an oxygen tank and not really share that. I know that some people would want to be private about it, but if I can help one or two people even find their diagnosis and try to overcome it, that will just give me a good feeling.
We're thinking about you, Kelly. I'm sorry.
So much.
And if anybody has any information on Lyme, I know when I talked about it on the podcast, a lot of people responded to my buddy, Brandon, with some great insight into like different tricks of the trade, because there's just like not a lot of research out there about it. So send your well wishes to Kelly Flanagan, just as she enters into this process, because it's a hard one. Next headline moving forward is, you know, as we announced, Matt James is going to be on this upcoming season of Dancing with the Stars. And Matt James says girlfriend Rachel has been practicing his Dancing with the Stars routine with him, which is really cute.
It's very cute. And her sister happens to be a dancer, and she's been helping. He says that he's been consulting with her about how he can improve the steps. He says he's whipping her and she's whipping him into shape. And Rachel also like kind of played with him this weekend on Instagram, joking about the fact that he's like not that great of a dancer. We'll see. But I'm sure that we'll be seeing Rachel in the audience, if there is an audience this time around, being supportive of her love, Matt.
Now, I just got to throw a little disclaimer in here. One of the people that I love the most in this world. In fact, he knew about my proposal to Jessica before anybody else. Ezra Sosa was a dancer on the Bachelor Live on stage tour with me. He lived on the bus with me. He is a joy and a sweetheart. He was just announced as one of the professional dancers on Dancing with the Stars. So,
oh, that's amazing.
Ezra, you're going to fall in love with him, people. He's incredible. Root for him. He has a huge heart. I love him dearly. And he's been so great to me. I'm so excited for him. Ezra Sosa, follow him. He's great. Anyways, just wanted to say that. I'm so proud of him. Next headline is Bachelor in Paradise's Brendan and Piper lose followers, as we mentioned, as Bachelor Nation sides with Natasha Parker in a wild way.
So yeah, like I said earlier in the episode, Natasha ends up gaining about 200,000 followers and Brendan plummeted close to, you know, like over 70,000 followers. And then we saw how Piper was losing steam on social. Well, she posted a TikTok set to Lizzo's song Rumors. And these are the lyrics to Rumors. If you guys aren't TikTokers / you don't know the lyrics to Lizzo's song. It is, all the rumors are true. Yeah, what you heard, that's true. Yeah, I F him and you, yeah. If you believe that I do, had to cut some hoes loose. Yeah. All right. So that is what Piper decided to post after last week's episodes.
Just an interesting strategy.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because, you know, we saw Bachelor Nation kind of come out and support, and they rallied together. And it's wild because we do have a pretty big like viewership for Paradise this year. In fact, Paradise is bringing in more viewers than this last season of The Bachelorette, which is fairly uncommon in like the history of the show, but it's bringing in either the same or a little bit above each week. And we see this group of people saying, no, we're going to support who we feel has done right. And that's Natasha. Well, the next headline, and it kind of rolls into it, Bachelor in Paradise's Piper defends herself after Brendan drama. It's a TV show, she said. Well, I don't know if I can fully agree with that. Ashley, what do you say?
Okay, there are kind of like two headlines here. We're going to meld into one because, yes, first Piper took to Instagram to say a gentle reminder that reality TV isn't real. That is a blanket statement that really often does not apply to the Bachelor franchise, because whenever anybody asks me, is it real? I'm like, I think it is the realest reality TV there is out there. As somebody who's been a part behind the scenes of multiple reality shows. It's just,
my life has been drastically changed. Like, my heart has been broken. My heart has been mended. I have, like, yes, I don't know what about it that's not real. There's moments that feel manipulated or like set up, but like, as far as realness goes, and I'm not under contract, like I can't imagine a reality show being any more real.
There's a baby in my belly because of this show.
Hell yeah,
she continues to say an edited, produced, and cut down show isn't going to give you every single thing said and done. And an edited and produced show can't show you conversations that happen before filming between friends. I totally understand where she comes from when she says that. Yes. Have I been frustrated with the edit before? Uh-huh. Because there's been things omitted, but the things that people are angry about, as far as like Brendan and Piper go, so much of that is like what they verbatim said on camera. And you can't take that back. You can't say that you didn't say that, because we know you said that. And you can't tell us that there was a context missing from some of those conversations. Anyway,
it just doesn't feel like, I said earlier, like you can blame it on editing, and at times that's a worthy excuse, but it's not a holistic
blanket excuse.
It doesn't fulfill everything. But when you say, just a reminder, reality television, like The Bachelor isn't real, like that's just not true. Like, it's not, like, you can't, like, none of these people are actors. You can't fake tears. You can't fake heartbreak. You can't fake a baby in a belly. Like, this is real stuff.
Yeah. And okay, so then she continues to further dig herself a hole in the next headline, which is from her appearance at New York Fashion Week. She was at a Pretty Little Thing show. And she says this: "It is what it is. It happened. I honestly try not to live with any regrets. I don't think I have any regrets. What happened, happened, and I'll deal with whatever happens next." She said, "I was shocked to see everyone there, including him, Brendan, including every relationship that was happening. As new as it was to the viewers was as new as it was to me. Beforehand, Brendan and I obviously had been talking, but it wasn't a serious relationship. As we both said on the show, we didn't have a plan. I have so much going on that I couldn't have put that plan together. But obviously I liked him and I was excited to see him there, but that was the extent to it." I mean, that was not the extent to it. She says, "I had no idea he was going to be there."
But yet she said, she saw him
the day before he left.
Yeah, like, I don't know what she's trying to do. Like you said, like, if they just admitted, like, hey, they made a mistake, or hey, this is what their plan was, then it's all good. But like, you saw him the day he left. Like, you knew he was getting on a flight to paradise. You knew you were going to paradise.
Yeah.
You were shown talking to him about, like, coming there. And when you talked
to
your plan, like, and also the excuse of, I had so much going on, I couldn't have come up with a plan. Like, Ashley, you're one of the busiest people I know, and you have a baby in your belly. Like, you still have a plan. Like, you can still talk to somebody and be like, this is what I'm going to do tomorrow.
You guys weren't creating Mission Impossible. Well, yeah. It wasn't. You weren't Tom Cruise on a mission. I'm pretty sure it was a plan that could have honestly been devised in a 10-minute phone call.
I just think this is like, there at this point, though, it's probably not even a story anymore, right? Like, next week, we're not even going to be talking about it. I just think there's a way out of this for them that was like, respectful to all parties involved, that like spoke some truth. I think at this point it just goes away. I think, like, I just think it's the wrong way to handle controversy is to, one, blame everybody else, and then to, two, come up with excuses that just don't fit the narrative that we've seen you telling. And that's where everybody's getting frustrated, and that's why everybody's, you know, kind of falling off and not following. But again, they're out of paradise, so we probably won't be talking about it much. But this is another big headline. Bachelor in Paradise's Chris Conrad addresses his controversial exit, apologizes for blatant disrespect for Jacinia. So a different take, a different way to handle it. And he apologized to Jacinia.
Yeah, this is a totally different, far more respectable take. He says, "Finally watched the episode and I feel like there are a few things that need to be said. First and foremost, I take complete accountability for my blatant disrespect towards Jacinia and handling the situation poorly. After getting home from filming, he said he contacted Jacinia privately to apologize. And he said that now I would like to reiterate my sincerest apologies to her now. My past behavior is not a reflection of who I am or who I want to be. It was never my intention to maliciously or purposefully hurt anyone on the show. I've been doing the work privately to work through my relationship and communication skills. I'm an awful communicator and I'm an extremely non-confrontational person, and it's something that needed to be fixed, and I'm glad it's been brought to light.
Yes. So a different kind of, apology, different way to go about it. And I think, kudos to him for owning up to some of this. And then hopefully now there's some healing that can be done. Well, that's all the headlines we have for this week, Ashley. We're looking forward to next week. I feel like the controversy may be kind of behind us a little bit, but we've seen the teaser that it's maybe not. So we'll be on edge about it. But for this week, I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley.
Thanks for joining us.
Great talking to you guys. Bye.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.